Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
This is program number 36, and we're going to be talking about music and teaching music and all kinds of music-related issues this time on our show. Joining me this week is Debbie Saylor. She is in Alabama, and welcome into our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. I'm really thrilled to be here.
So we know where we're starting from. What is your level of vision?
I have absolutely no vision, no light perception, nothing.
Nothing. It's always been that way?
Always. I did have a little light perception when I was little, but not enough to count for anything.
So have you always been in Alabama, or is this?
Oh, no, I grew up in Iowa, actually.
Oh, okay.
And came to Alabama through a job that I got that I absolutely love, which we'll talk about more later. I'm a music teacher at a private music school here in Huntsville, Alabama. As I like to say, beautiful Huntsville, Alabama. And I teach piano and voice lessons, and I have about 54 students at the present time.
Oh, my goodness. How about siblings?
Well, I have one brother and one sister. My sister has passed on a couple years ago. My brother is still living. They're both a lot older than I am, and they're still back, or he is still back in Iowa.
Are you the only visually impaired one of the?
Yes.
Okay. So we're in Alabama, but before you got there, you had to go to school. Was it mainstreaming or school for the blind?
No, I actually went to a residential school, and I went to the Iowa School for the Blind, or as they called it back then, Iowa Braille and Sight Saving School in Vinton, Iowa.
One of those nice short names.
Right.
And then, obviously, if you're a teacher, you probably went on to college, huh?
Yes, I did. I went to Clark College in Dubuque, Iowa, which is a small private institution, and I got my bachelor's degree in piano and vocal performance there and went on to the University of Iowa in Iowa City, where I got my master's degree in piano and vocal performance.
Let's talk about that for a moment. I know that for musicians, interacting with the crowd is very important to a successful performance. How do you deal with interacting with the crowd when you can't see what they're doing? I mean, obviously you hear the applause, but other reactions and how they're responding to your music, how do you deal with that?
It all depends on what they're doing. I mean, if I hear them laughing, I try to make a joke and laugh along with them, you know, or if I haven't heard any boos or catcalls. Which is pretty fortunate, but I mean, I listen to how they're reacting, and if it's a program of popular music that I'm doing, I might tailor the program to how the applause is going, or if it's a classical program, of course, you gotta stick to your program, and hopefully they're enjoying it. I just kinda go along and kinda roll with it, whatever's happening. I don't let it get to me, or I just enjoy it.
So getting on and off the stage to the point or the place on the stage where you're performing, how do you deal with that?
Sometimes I'm able to walk by myself if I have a chance to look at the stage ahead of the performance. Otherwise, I just have somebody walk on with me and show me where the piano is or where I'm going to stand to sing. But I really do like it if I can look at the stage ahead of time and see what I'm going to be dealing with.
You've made a comment that very few people that I know of can say that they love their job.
Oh, yes, I've got the best job in the whole wide world.
So how did you get this job, and what is it that you actually do?
Well, what I do, first of all, I give lessons, private lessons to young or old people. The age range of my students is from 7 to 75. So in piano or voice instruction, and it's a private lesson. Some people take a half hour a week. Some people take an hour lesson a week. My 75-year-old is quite outstanding. She takes 3 one-hour lessons a week, and she just loves it. But this job, I came upon it because I had given a couple concerts here in Huntsville because I have friends here. I'm friends with Tim Hendel, and I have some other friends here also who set me up for doing concerts, and I did these concerts and as a result met my boss, my current boss, whose name is Ginger Beasley, and she is the head of the school where I teach, and she heard me sing and play, and I was going to have a voice lesson with her when I was visiting Tim Hendel over a Christmas vacation. Would have been the Christmas of 2002 and into 2003. And I love to have lessons with different teachers just to see how they teach. And I was going to have a lesson with Ginger, and I decided to ask her about a job, if there was anything, because I knew she was running this school where they taught private music lessons, and I wanted to live in Huntsville because the culture and the performance opportunities in Huntsville were quite amazing for a city this size, and I really wanted to be a part of all that. And so I decided to ask her about a job, and she took my resume and called me and said I had a job, and I moved here to Huntsville in March of 2003, and I've been there ever since.
So she was fully aware of your blindness before?
Oh, yes. And the blindness makes absolutely no difference to the job. I mean, people don't even mention the fact that I'm blind. My students, everybody says, that, as my boss puts it, she says, your students adore you, and I guess they do, and I love them, too. And we just have a really good relationship, student-teacher relationship, I do with all of my students, and it's just the blindness isn't even mentioned, and I'm so thrilled about that.
Well, yeah, because so often that is an immediate obstacle, a negative thing, and you got to figure out how to overcome it, and it just, when it suddenly is not an obstacle or a problem you have to deal with, it must have been a huge relief.
Oh, it really was, and I just knew that I could make it work. When I went into this job, I just knew that everything was going to be perfect, and I built my studio from one student back in June of 2003 to 54 today, and now I'm so full I can't take any more of students because I'm doing some studying of my own, and I have to have time to practice because I'm studying piano and voice myself.
Even though you're teaching it, you're continuing to study. Is that just to keep your skills up or to give you...
Yes, it's a good thing to keep your skills up and to have somebody there to check your work, you know, as they say, and make sure you're doing everything okay. And I have found the perfect teachers. My voice lessons are with Ginger Beasley, the lady I work for. And my piano lessons are with a piano professor who was just newly hired at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, whose name is Dr. Sarkis Baltayan.
I'm glad you can say that.
And he is such a fantastic performer himself. Both of my teachers are fantastic performers. I can't say enough about either one of them because they're both fantastic. And studying with both of them is just such a joy and such... I'm learning so many new things, and it's just incredible. I love being able to study again.
So when you perform, do you keep the piano playing separate from vocal, or do you combine them?
Sometimes, depending on the type of program that it is, I combine them. But if it's an actual formal classical recital, I like to keep them separate.
So what's your favorite type of venue to perform in?
Oh, my goodness. I love the concert stage for classical performance, but I also love to perform anywhere they'll have me. I performed at nursing homes, for clubs and organizations. I guess I'd have to say my favorite is the classical, though. I mean, although I've done anything from singing in a pub or a bar, I guess you might call it. There's a place here in Huntsville that a friend of mine, she plays the piano, and I like to go down there and sing with her sometimes at her sing-alongs. Or, you know, just anything but the concert stage. There's something about that that just, and something about the piano that is really, I love to sing very, very much, but there's something about the piano that is so captivating for me. And I think that something is that the fact that, it's the fact that you don't have to be held by words. You don't have to think about what you're specifically singing about. When you play, you can play and think about the things that you want to think about, and the people in the audience can interpret the music however they would interpret it. And it's such a matter of personal interpretation, and you don't have to think about poetry like you do in singing. It's just a matter of personal interpretation, and the joy that that brings me is just so wonderful.
So I assume you are a Braille reader?
Oh, yes. And I read Braille music as well. I read literary as well as music Braille.
So when it comes to teaching, there must be some challenges you actually face in doing that job, whether it's the paperwork or transportation or whatever it may be. So what challenges do you really face?
This is great because I don't have any paperwork that I have to do. I don't have transportation issues because I live so close. I only live about a block from my work, so I can walk, and it's wonderful. But the issues that I have faced, and they're not that many, are how to obtain music for my students that, you know, they can sing, although I have got a lot of it in Braille that I use for my teaching. But some of the music that I teach is by ear. But it works out great that way. And the thing I'd have to say is teaching beginners, it's a little difficult because you're teaching the print method of reading music. You're not doing it by Braille. You're actually telling the student about the lines and spaces that appear in the print copy. And you have to know how to tell a student, oh, now look at that. Is that a space or a line? You know, tell me what you're seeing. Is it the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth line? You know, you have to learn how to ask questions of your student so that you know that they know what they're doing. And I would say that that's the biggest challenge of all.
Well, living so close to work, then do you basically walk to and from work then?
I do. The only time I don't like to walk from work is I teach very late into the evening, and I don't like to walk in the dark because it involves walking through a big parking lot, and I don't like to walk through there in the dark, but I like to walk to work, and I do walk home when the weather's warm and it stays light longer, so then I walk home too. And it's all just perfect.
Cane or dog user?
I'm a cane user, very proud of it.
I know you probably always get the question, as I do, why don't you have a dog?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I know people have their own reasons why or why not, but I would say that my primary reason is I just don't care to have a dog. I love them. I love other people's. But for me to have one would just be too much responsibility, for one thing, and too much care. I wouldn't feel comfortable walking with a dog either. I feel like I need to have that cane out in front of me to see what I'm doing. I feel like my cane is my third leg.
Well, I always tell people that, you know, of course, some of the reasons you just gave are true for me. But I also say I think it would be unfair to the dog to say, okay, I'm in my office now, go lay in the corner and shut up, and I'll see you in 8 hours, you know.
Right.
And I just don't think that would work well. Plus, being downtown, there's not much grass. It's all concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So it just...
You got to take all those things into consideration, where all you have to do with the cane is stand it in the corner and it'll be there for you the next time.
Yep, that is very true. Unless the elastic breaks and it falls to pieces, but
right.
So what is transportation like in Huntsville?
Not very good. That's the only thing about Huntsville that I would have to say for me is a negative. And even then, I can take a cab and just go anywhere I want to in the city because cab fare isn't that expensive here. It's just really not. But we don't have a good bus system. And we just don't have very many sidewalks as far as walking. Just a lot of grass and curbs and streets and a lot of parking lots, but not many sidewalks. So that makes it difficult to get around. But like I say, I take a cab so many places, I just don't even think about it anymore.
Right. So how do you deal with things such as grocery shopping and getting through the mail and paying the bills and all that fun stuff?
Well, now the bills I pay over the phone. All the bill-paying places seem to have good on-telephone, you know, payment options and stuff, so I can do it all that way. And as far as getting through the mail, the secretary at the school where I teach, she's really good about going through my mail with me. And other than that, I have a scanner here at home. I can just put a piece of mail on the scanner, and I like to do that because then you don't have to show people what you got in the mail, and I think of my mail as kind of a personal thing. No particular reason, but I just kind of do. And so I can put it on the computer scanner and scan it and know what I've got, which is a good thing for me. Grocery shopping, my neighbor usually goes with me. I live right across the street from a Kroger's grocery store.
Oh, that's good.
So I love living right across the street from food, because next to performing, I love to eat.
Well, that's a problem many of us have.
So I love living right across the street from the store, and she just walks over with me and helps me pick out what I want. I have a list that I made ahead of time, and so we can just go through the list and get what I need, and it just works perfect.
Have you tried any of the online bill payment services that are out there from the
banks? I don't like to go on the Internet. The only thing I do is a computer right now. I have dial-up, and so the only thing I do is either use the scanner or get my email, and that's about all I do. And I don't even like to give out my email address because you never know what kind of stuff you might get.
Oh, yes. Email is good, but yet it's evil.
Right. Exactly.
And if we didn't have people that abuse the email system, it would just be wonderful.
Oh, I know. A lot easier than waiting for a letter. You can just write, and hopefully the person on the other end will respond right away, and most of the time they do.
Well, if you had the opportunity to perform with somebody that's, shall we say, made it in the biz, who might that be? And I'll even go so far as to let you pick someone who's deceased or living. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I would have to say that I would love to sing with Luciano Pavarotti. Oh, he has the most glorious voice. I love a tenor anyway, and his beautiful tenor voice, especially before he got a little older and started to lose his voice. But, oh, he could sing Mimi Rodolfo's aria from La Boheme, where he's singing about Mimi's cold little hand, and oh, he sings that aria so beautifully. I just, and when he sings, oh, if I could be the soprano singing along with him, it would be fabulous.
Oh my goodness! Okay. Just reminds me of one of the times back in when I was in college working for the radio station, and the guy got sick one afternoon, and they called me and said, "Hey, can you come in and run the opera?"
Oh, wow!
And I know nothing about opera. Of course, it was all the announcing was recorded. So this is back in the day of albums, you know, those round black things you put on these turntables. So, you know, I go in and I sit down there and play the little opening and play the side one, and without even thinking, I flip it over. Well, that was side four. I guess I rearranged the opera a bit.
Oh, my goodness, that's great.
I couldn't tell the difference, so hey.
And as far as playing the piano, I guess I would love to play with someone like Arthur Rubinstein, who is, or Horowitz. I mean, two fantastic pianists in their day. But I think the most fantastic pianist who is performing today is Long Lon, the Chinese pianist. And he just, his interpretations are just, ooh, so beautiful and so musical. So, ooh. You can just see the singing of the piano with whatever interpretation you decide to put with it.
Well, of course, when you're talking about music, you know, classical and jazz and some of those music styles are just being pushed aside this day and age.
I know, and everything is all this popular stuff and hip-hop and rap.
Oh, yeah. And it's just these big corporations, they get one thing set in their mind, and that's all they want.
And that's all they want. Look what's happened to radio today.
Radio is almost non-existent anymore.
I know it.
It's been ruined.
I know it. It's just a shame.
And you look at different stations that are doing classical and jazz, and they're struggling because they're not getting the support, because the consultants are telling everybody it's wrong and they need to play the rap or the country or the hip-hop.
Yeah.
But
I think there'll always be a place for classical music in the world because, you know, that's what we're teaching our students in a school like the one that I teach at. And that's... We're trying to bring up classical musicians, although we do teach all kinds of music, but in a technically correct way, so that people don't ruin their voices when they're singing. But we do teach the classics, too, and that's, we want our students to fall in love with it, just like we did.
Well, if we happened to live in the same town, I'd have to hire you to give me voice lessons, because I would love to be able
to be
a singer, but I can't. I just sound terrible.
Oh, well, I could do something about that.
Wave your magic wand over me or something.
That's right. And just like that, you're a singer.
My wife always says, don't sing at church, the place will empty.
Oh, goodness.
So I've never really done any vocal lessons, but maybe one of these days I will find somebody that will have the guts to work with me.
Oh, it really is. And I wish I did live in the same town, then I would.
So if there was a young person that had interest in music and wanted to make that something they really worked at, what would your advice to them be?
Now, is this a young blind person?
It could be, either or.
Because if it was a blind person, I'd say learn Braille music for the first thing. Because you'll need to know how to read the... You don't want to just listen and pick up on someone else's interpretation of a piece. You want to be able to read that piece and interpret it for yourself. And know that you're getting all the right notes and the right dynamic markings and the right everything to interpret the piece. But so to a blind person, I'd say learn to read Braille music. Don't go just by your ear. Otherwise, I'd just have to say find a really good teacher that you feel knows what they're doing and they have a good reputation, and practice. Practice as much as you can. If you love music, don't let other things get in the way. You do have to have other things to make a well-rounded life, and I understand that, but if you're really serious, you need to take the time to practice. You need to develop what you're working toward, whether it be piano, voice, or instrumental. You need to just develop your art and practice it as much as you can and perform. Take every opportunity you can to perform, because the more you perform, the easier it'll get. The nerves will go away. The jitters, the pre-performance jitters. You'll still have some of that, but it'll be more of an excitement rather than an, oh my God, I can't do this type of thing. So the more you can perform, the better off you'll be. From young, start at a very young age to perform, and then the older you get, the easier it'll be. So practice and perform, and finally just enjoy it. You practice, you perform, just get all the enjoyment you can out of it, and love your art and give your whole self to it.
And if a parent came to you and said, Debbie, I've got a 2-year-old, and they love music, when should they start piano lessons? What would you tell them?
It would all depend on whether they had perfect pitch, whether they were like me when I was a young 2-year-old or even younger than that and could pick up melodies and do all and knew my chords and stuff. It would depend on whether they just loved music and could keep good rhythm and like that, or whether they had some actual developing talent. If they had some real talent and they knew their chords and did like me, like when I was in kindergarten, told the teacher what chords to play, then, yeah, start them off as soon as you can, maybe even 2 or 3 years old or 4. But, you know, the average child, I would say wait till at least 7 or 8 years old before starting, because if you, and especially starting on piano, because you don't want to start voice too young. There are some children's singing classes at our school, but they're classes. You know, we don't start private lessons till they're 9 years old. So I would say wait as long as you can for singing, or 8 or 9 years old, but for piano, I'd say maybe 7 or 8. Have them have a little bit of an understanding of reading, just plain reading, before they try to take up music reading. And but if they're talented, you know, it all depends so much on the actual ability that the child has.
Do you have a piano at your home?
Actually, I have 2.
Well, good.
I have an acoustic and upright in the living room, a beautiful Yamaha studio upright, who I have named Baby. And in the what I call the music room, I have my digital electronic piano.
Oh, very good. Well, Debbie, we appreciate you taking the time to come on our show and to share your life story and your love of music. It's been very interesting.
Oh, I have had a wonderful time. This has been a lot of fun for me, too. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Debbie really didn't want to give out her email address, but after we stopped recording, she said, but you know, you could give out my phone number if someone would like to call me. That would be fine. So if you'd like to talk to Debbie all about her music and her teaching, you can call her at 256-880-8919. That's 256-880-8919. And that's our show for this week. If you've got comments, our feedback line is 206-350-2757. That's 206-350-2757.
Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at the same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream.